Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
In our series called Teach Us to Pray, it's interesting to me, I find it actually humorous to look back at my kids and some of the things that they used to say and some of the things they used to do when they were even younger than they are now. And, you know, when we were still living in British Columbia, we went to the same church as my parents did. And so Joshua and Taylor, our two oldest, after service, they would run up to my dad. And when they would do that, oftentimes he'd be like, hey, do you guys want to go and get some cheeseburgers at McDonald's? And so they'd go from church and they would go with my dad in his truck to get cheeseburgers at McDonald's. And what ended up happening after a while is church would end and Joshua especially would run up to my dad and he'd go, Grandpa, Grandpa, can we go ride in the cheeseburger truck? Soon it became every time, you know, can I drive with Grandpa? I want to go in the cheeseburger truck. It's interesting how when kids get good things, when they see the things that they can get from a certain individual, it will impact the way that they will relate with that person. I mean, we've all been there, right? We've probably been there with our own parents where you'd be out at the store and you'd just be like, Mom, Dad, I want this thing, right? Can you get me this? This thing's so cool. I really want this. Can you get it for me? Or maybe you've seen other people do that. You know, you're in the Walmart or something and there's that poor parent whose kid is just red in the face and almost turning blue, kicking and screaming, tears everywhere. And the poor parent is either, you know, trying to be like, well, what about this thing? Can I get you this thing? Will that make you be quiet? Or they're picking them up over their shoulder and dragging them out of there like, forget it, we're done. We'll come back some other time. Right? We've seen that. We've seen it. We've been there, some of us. Or we've seen this with our kids and our grandkids, right? They come up and they want stuff. You know, my kids with my grandma, their great-grandma, she comes over. They call her Candy Grandma because she always comes with a bag of candy bars. So, you know, we've got the cheeseburger truck. We've got Candy Grandma. If you want to get in good with my kids, apparently this is how you do it. You offer them food whenever you see them. You get a special name, and they love you forever. If you're a teacher, you probably see this with students. See this idea that they want something from you. You're their favorite, maybe because they get the thing that they like from you. And this attitude of always looking at what can we get out of a relationship, because that's kind of what kids often do, right? They look at, what can I get out of this relationship? I mean, that's what Joshua was doing with the cheeseburger truck. He's going, I really like going in the truck because of what I get from Grandpa when I go in the truck. And these aren't bad things, but what it is a sign of immaturity. Guys, I think you're actually in previous week's messages there. This is a sign of immaturity, and it sits on the surface of what a relationship can actually be. Right? You can relate to somebody this way, and oftentimes with grandparents especially, this is one of the ways that they relate to children. And there's nothing bad about it, but it does show a certain immaturity if this is where the child's relationship or where somebody's relationship in general stays. You know, in many ways, our prayer lives are similar, right? Our prayer lives get really similar to this idea that we run up to God and we're like, God, can we get in the cheeseburger truck? God, what did you bring me, God? What are you giving me, God? What can I get out of this, Lord? The problem is that when we pray this way, when we relate this way, ultimately it's unfulfilling. Ultimately, it's full of disappointment because we're asking for ourselves, because the relationship is about what we're getting and what happens when it doesn't turn out the way that we want. When it comes to prayer, it becomes extra unfulfilling because really this isn't where our prayers are supposed to stay. They're not supposed to stay in this place of what can I get from God. Now, you may be here and you're like, well, I don't really, you know, I'm not into this whole Jesus thing. I'm just checking out the church because it's cold outside and whatever, or I'm visiting, or I'm online and, hey, this thing popped up and I figured I don't have anything better to do, so why not listen to this thing? And so before you tune out thinking, oh, they're just going to talk about prayer, the things that we're talking about today have to do with all relationships. All relationships where a human is involved have to do with what we are talking about today, because we're going to be talking about growing in maturity in our relationship. See, last week we talked about the purpose of prayer. And we said that the purpose of prayer is that prayer is about more than me. Right? We don't just come to God and say, this is what I want, this is what I want, this is what I need. But instead, prayer is about us focusing on God and others. Because in the Christian faith, what we see is that we relate to God, we're in a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ, and prayer is one of the ways that we connect with Him, that we relate with God. And so we need to mature in that relationship. We don't want to stay as the little children that are begging God to take us with Him to go to McDonald's. And in your human relationships, you don't want to stay in the place where you're always relating to other human beings because you just want what you can get out of them. So I encourage you, no matter where you're at in faith today, that you stick with me here, because there's things for all of us in this, Christian or not. But when it comes to prayer, most of us need to mature in our prayer lives. In fact, Paul, speaking to the church in Corinth about the lack of love in their spiritual lives, wrote in 1 Corinthians 13, "When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child, but when I grew up, I put away childish things." Now here he's not specifically talking about the way that we relate to God in prayer, but the principle of maturity applies in both. See, when we first start relating to God, we come to Him quite a bit as a child. We're like, wow, Jesus did this thing for me, and now I'm told that if I pray and ask God, He's going to bless me, He's going to make me feel good, you know, all these things are going to happen. And so we come to God in this kind of immature way, and He loves us for it. He's like, come to me, pray, connect with me. But as we progress in our faith with God, in this relationship that we have, as we grow up, if you will, the relationship needs to mature, doesn't it? We need to put away childish things. You could put it this way. We can pray for what God gives, or we can go beyond to pray and be transformed by who God is. That's the principle of maturity. That's what prayer needs to become. We can pray for what God gives, or we can go beyond to pray and be transformed by who God is. Ultimately, the choice is up to each and every one of us. The choice is up to you. You know, you can continue to pray for what He gives, and even if you do move beyond that, you can still pray for what He gives. But if you choose to make this the overwhelming part, the majority of your relationship with God, what can I get from Him, then your prayer life can stay the same. You can continue to go, why is it that He didn't give me that thing that I asked for? You can continue to go to Him and say, I just don't get it, God. Like, why is prayer so boring? Why is it so unfulfilling? Or you can go beyond that. You can pray. You can be transformed by who God is. And you can begin to see Him move you into a new place in your relationship with Him. A new place in your relationship with others, how you relate to people, how you see them, in the drive that you have to see God enact His mercy and His forgiveness in people's lives. We can pray for what God gives, or we can go beyond to pray and be transformed by who God is. So today we're going to explore this a little bit. We're going to help unpack this statement, understand relational maturity a little bit, so that maybe, just maybe, we can make a decision on what we want our prayer life to look like. Heavenly Father, I ask that as we come before You today, that you would reveal yourself to us, that you would speak to each one of us in the place that we're in so that we can come to know you better, so that we can become more effective in showing people who you are and the love that you have for us, God. I ask that whatever places of hardness may exist in our hearts or our minds today, that you will begin to work in those places to bring light into the darkness. God, that you'll take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and make them something worthwhile through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So friends, we can pray for what God gives, or we can go beyond to pray and be transformed by who God is. There's three levels of relational maturity that we see in everyday life. We've talked about the first one. The first one is wanting what they can give. Wanting what they can give. And so you see this all the time, right? This is one of those things where you pursue a relationship with someone of the opposite sex. Why? Because you want what they can give. Maybe you're looking to get married one day. You've just dreamed your entire life of getting married. Well, guess what? You need a spouse for that. And so maybe you're pursuing a relationship because you want what they can give, or you want companionship, or you want kids someday. Maybe there's other things that we talked about 2 weeks ago that you want out of a relationship. But you want what they can give. Maybe you just enjoy the way that they make you laugh. Or you enjoy how they always build you up. And so you enter the relationship, any relationship that you have, really wanting what that other person can give. What do they give to you? In Christian terms, in our relationship with God, we would call this seeking the hand of God. Right? God, will you do this? God, what can you give me? What are you bringing me? We want him to work in our lives. We want him to bless us. It's the hand of God. And as we said, that's fine. This level's fine, but it's a low level. It's a base level. If this is where a relationship, a human relationship, were to stay, eventually one or both people would get sick and tired of the other, and it would collapse. A relationship cannot exist for a long period of time if all it is people wanting what the other person can give them. And so we move on to the second level of maturity in relationships, and that is wanting to be in their presence. Have you ever been in that place where you're just like, I just want to like sit down and watch a movie with this person? We're not going to talk at all. We're just going to sit here and just enjoy being in their presence. Right? Have you ever been in that place where you're like, I just want to hang out. I just want to be around them. Sometimes we experience this in church too. We come to church and we begin to sing these songs, and God, who's always there, manifests himself. That is, he makes it so that suddenly we can really just sense that he is here, and we're overwhelmed in the presence of God. We just love to be with him. You could call this seeking the face of God. Right, you go from, what can you give me, God, to just being like, God, can I just be with you because I love you and I want to be in your presence. It's a beautiful place to be. It's a beautiful place to be in the presence of God. I see this more and more in Joshua and Taylor and their relationship with me and their relationship with their grandpa and their grandparents as a whole. They've gone from this place of always, can I get this? Can you give me this? What am I getting out of it? To now, my kids just go, Dad, will you sit next to me while we watch this show? Will you play this game with me? You know, you come through the door after being away and it's not, what did you get me? But it's, you're here. Your presence is the important thing. It's a wonderful place to be. The psalmist writes in Psalm 16, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And so we can pray because we're seeking for God to give us things, but we can also pray just because we want to be in the glorious presence of our God. how much more depth is there to just wanting to be with him? Jesus is recorded as saying in John chapter 15, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing." Jesus invites us to spend time in his presence. Other translations of the Bible, they put it slightly differently in more modern English. Instead of abide, they say remain. Remain. Remain in me and I as I remain in you. It's this idea of presence, continuing presence of God. And the way that we become connected to the vine and grow and are fed from that. So Jesus calls us into being in the presence of God. Be with me, he says. But did you know that we can go even further than just being in the presence of God? See, the third place of relational maturity is wanting to know their thoughts and feelings. Because a relationship, if you just want to sit with the person, it's going to get kind of awkward after a while. You want to get to know people. And what I've noticed is human relationships, they actually move through these things fairly quickly. You know, have you noticed that? Like if you start dating someone or something like that, it moves pretty quickly. You know, here you are, you want what they can give, but now you're just enjoying being in their presence, and now you're asking questions like, what are you aspiring to in life? Who are you really as an individual, as a person? What makes you tick? And the great thing is that number two, this wanting to be in someone's presence, it leads naturally into wanting to know their thoughts and feelings. It's how relationships work, how they're built. And so in the same way with our prayer lives, we can choose to stay in this place of what can I get from God, or we can choose to stay in this place of I just want to seek the presence of God. But what if, as we sought the presence of God, we also began to want to know his thoughts and his feelings? In our relationship with God, you could call this seeking the heart of God. The heart of God. Now, God reveals himself to us in Scripture. We can learn a lot about him here. And I believe that this is the ultimate way that he communicates with us. It is. But in prayer, he communicates with us as well. He highlights Scripture to us. It's amazing the way that that can work. Suddenly, something you've read 100 times, bam, it hits you. Or you're praying, God, just show me this, and a verse comes to your mind. He can speak to you in ways that can boggle your mind. Suddenly, a thought comes to you, and you just know that it's not your own, but it's completely consistent with Scripture. And it makes something real to you. But whatever way it is that you end up relating to God in prayer, as you spend time in his presence and you just say, God, I want to know your heart. What is it that you think? What is it that you feel? Can you make me more like you, God? We begin to change. We begin to discover a little bit more of who he is. The psalmist cried out for this in Psalm 25, "Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long." That passage that we read from John, it also fits into this, that idea of abiding with Jesus. See, a deep abiding with Jesus, it's not just about spending that time with him, but it's about being transformed by him. If you abide in his presence, if you become a branch of the vine, then the vine is pouring into you, and a part of it comes into you. You're transformed. You're enlivened. So we want to spend that time learning the heart of God. What does he feel? What does he desire? How can we get to know him more? But then we run into an obstacle. Some of you may be sitting here and you may be saying, how can we as imperfect people relate to this God that I'm told is perfect? How can we do it? How can I know the heart and mind of God? You don't know what I've done, Pastor Stephen. You don't know where I'm at. And so how can I know him? How can I relate to him? And the fact of the matter is that God wants to relate with you. God wants to speak to you. In fact, before the creation was created, he had a plan in place to be able to connect with you. We were designed to connect with him. And it's only because of our sinfulness, our just waywardness, that the relationship between us and God has become broken. So God enacted a plan. He decided that he would send his son, Jesus Christ, God become human flesh, to die for us, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could find hope and life. We talked about this during communion earlier in the service, right? This powerful act of Jesus on the cross. And it's this act of Jesus on the cross that makes it possible to come into the presence of God. Because through Jesus' work on the cross, as we trust in him, we're not just left alone, but he says, I'm sending a helper to you. And the Holy Spirit of God comes and fills our hearts and speaks to us on God's behalf. Because the Holy Spirit is God. And so, yes, we come before God as sinful people, but we come before God as sinful people that have been made holy by the blood of Jesus Christ. And though we make mistakes and though we're not perfect, in God's sight, we have Christ's holiness upon us. And so we come before God as children. We come before God as his beloved, and he shares his heart with us. What is God's heart? What is God's heart? Well, his heart is to see that all the world would receive his gift of life. Time and time again, we see that that's God's heart. He's the God that would leave the 99 that are already with him to go in search of the one that's missing. He's the God who came to earth and hung out with drunkards and prostitutes, not to engage in the activities that they were a part of, but he said, because the healthy don't need a physician, the sick do. And so as we come to Scripture and as we come before God in prayer and we say, God, as I'm in your presence, will you just begin to form me and change me and show me who you are. He begins to reveal things to us like 2 Peter 3 verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That's the heart of God. That's his thoughts. Is that the reason he's not back yet, the reason he's left you here on earth, is to go and make sure that as many people as possible hear the good news so that they can come to repentance and accept that gift of life that's been purchased for them. That's the heart of God. He says, I don't want anybody to die. I don't want anybody to end up away from me, separated from me in torment for all of eternity. I want them in my presence. And we feel what he desires. Matthew 23, verse 37, Jesus cries out, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers, how often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. Just wants to gather us together. His heart is for those that are far from him. His heart is full of compassion and love. God's heart is to see all the world receive his gift of life. And so what does it look like then to begin to be transformed by the heart of God? What does it begin to look like when our thoughts become the thoughts of God? What does it look like when our desires, our feelings become the feelings of God? I believe we get a beautiful picture of this in Romans chapter 9 when the Apostle Paul talks about his fellow Jewish brothers and sisters. He says, "For my people, my Jewish brothers and sisters, I would be willing to be forever cursed, cut off from Christ, if that would save them." He's like, I would sacrifice my very salvation if it meant that all of them could be saved. That's radical. That's about as radical as a God that would say, you know what, I'm above all these people, but I love them so much that I'd humble myself to become one of them and die for them. God's heart is to see all the world receive his gift of life. So, you know, we can pray for what God gives, for that hand of God. Hey God, what did you bring me? Hey God, what can I get out of this relationship? Hey God, can you get me out of this situation? I really don't like it, and a loving God wouldn't put me here. Or we can begin to press deeper. We can say, God, I want to spend time with you. I just want to be with you in your presence, abiding with you. We can go deeper. We can say, God, transform me. Show me who you are. Show me your passions. Show me your desires. And help me to desire those things. We can be the people that live our lives Monday through Saturday and ignore the hurt around us, ignore those that are broken, that don't know God, and then show up to church on Sunday and pretend everything's good with our lives. Or we can be the people who passionately go out into our community and say, Jesus loves these people. And I do too. God's heart breaks for these people. And mine does too. God did whatever was necessary to make a way for these people. And I will too. We can pray for what God gives, or we can go beyond to pray and be transformed by who God is. See, I believe that if you think that prayer is boring, it's because you're doing it wrong. And this is somebody that if you talked to me 2 years ago, I would have said that prayer is the thing that I dread the most, because my mind would just start thinking about other things and I couldn't focus, and I'd be like, I'm going to dedicate this hour to prayer, and I'd get down on my knees and I'd be checking my watch every 30 seconds going, it has to have been an hour by now. But friends, when you begin to recognize that prayer isn't about bringing your list of things that you really want to God, but it's coming to God and saying, God, help me to pray for what you want. Like we talked about last week, your kingdom come, your will be done. Let your name be glorified, God. Bring them to you, Jesus. When we pray in this way, when we pray for the heart of God, it becomes exciting, because we're not praying for selfish things, but we're praying for the very things that our good Father wants to give. And we can get excited for that. We can get excited about getting on board with our purpose. We can get excited about the fact that we serve a God who changes everything through Jesus Christ. That nothing has to stay the same. That nothing is closed off from him, but that he can change the darkest heart to walk in the light. That's the God that we serve. And it's a beautiful thing to be in his presence, and it's a beautiful thing to know his heart. I mean, friends, don't you want to just sit at the feet of Jesus? And as you're there, to begin to be transformed by the Holy Spirit, to be more like your Heavenly Father. Isn't that what you want? Maybe it's not. But I hope that it is. I hope that you can get to that place Friends, here's what I want to call us all into today, and that is, don't settle for less. Seek to know God's heart as you spend time reading your Bible, praying, and listening to God each day this week. Sounds an awful lot like devotions. Don't settle for less. Don't just say, you know what, I've got so much on my plate, I don't think I can do this. Because God moved things around for you. Maybe it's time we move things around for Him. We can pray for what God gives, or we can go beyond to pray and be transformed by who God is. So I hope that you'll do this. I hope as well that you'll join us again next week as we talk about what is the ultimate end of prayer. You know, okay, so prayer is supposed to be about more than me. It's supposed to be focused on God and others. But I need to mature in my prayer life so that I can be transformed by God. But really, you know, when I come to God on my knees, what's it supposed to result in? What ultimately is the point? That's what we're going to talk about next week. Hope that you'll join me as well. Don't forget to mark off on your calendars our March 12th prayer meeting. We're calling it not your average prayer meeting because it's not going to be boring. We're not going to leave you guys for an hour just to sit there figuring out what to pray. We're going to guide you through this stuff. We're going to try to give you some tools to just show you that prayer can be powerful. It can be impactful as we pray for our community, as we pray for the heart of God. I believe that we're going to see great things happen in Pincher Creek and around the world. Will you join me in closing in prayer today? Heavenly Father, I thank you that you listen to our prayers. I thank you that you love our prayers, Lord. Today, will you just in each one of our hearts help us to strive towards maturity in our prayers? Help us to begin to make that choice that prayer can be about more. That there can be a purpose behind it, that it can be transformative rather than just treating you like Santa Claus, God. So all around this place, Lord Jesus, right now, I just ask that you will move in our hearts, that you'll move in our lives, Lord God, that you will encourage us, that you will bless us, but Lord, not just so that we can leave this place going, wow, that was a good day at church, but so that we are so utterly renewed and transformed that we can't help but shine brightly in this community. That we can't help but share stories of what you've been doing in our lives with the people that you put before us day after day. And give us the courage to actually stand up and speak rather than timidly walking away. Because God, we come in contact with people every single day. We know who you are placing us in front of, who you're placing before us, so that they can experience a touch of your love. We thank you for this, Jesus. Thank you, God.
Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about. I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you. But the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes through a true relationship with their Creator. So God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so he came to us. And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness.
I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my master and my savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship with Jesus. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.